Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:04 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today is April 11th. Well, the balance of commentary today, and particularly the influence on markets, was both focusing on gold and oil. Gold was up approximately $20 for most of the day, and then paired that advance in the latter half of the session, and it closed up on the day about $12, but it had hit a new high for the last few months for a brief part of the day before giving up some of the advance. Now, what that suggests is that there is still a little bit of resistance up here around the $1,360 area. But when we look at this over the course of the last 10 years, we can see a very clear saucering pattern, and this continues to represent a consolidation in the region of the upper side of this 5-year base formation, and that there is potential for additional upside. Well, what could be the narrative that would support that? Well, one, of course, is that you have heightened geopolitical tensions. The ruble today was breaking down in a dynamic manner, and it did not hold all of the decline either, but this is a substantial rally for the dollar. And it has broken back above the 60 ruble level, and really a sustained move below that area would be required to question that we're not back in a supply-dominated environment for the ruble. It's broadly speaking, we've had a significant change in the environment for emerging market currencies. So the Brazilian real was able to pair a lot of its decline in here today, but nonetheless, it is going to have to do more than that to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for that currency. Then, if you look at the Turkish lira, it was also at a new low in here today. It paired that decline and towards the end of the session, but nonetheless, that this is a very consistent advance for the dollar over the course of at least the last 7 years. So then when we go back and think about what it is that could really help to animate gold, well, we might have some of the answer when we look at the gold shares. There is a significant number of gold shares that have got all-in production costs or long-term sustaining production costs in the region of about $750, and the price of gold is currently in the region of $1,350. So one would have to ask the important question: why are they simply going sideways? That the gold shares have been doing nothing at all for more than a year, and if we look at the last 10 years, this kind of ranging environment is not characteristic. They generally do tend to be rather volatile. So, what is it that is confining them to this range? Well, we know what the bullish factor is. It's their low cost of production. But of course, the bearish factor is that they haven't been investing any money in additional new supply. And because there's been a lack of investment in new supply, then what they are getting are declining ore grades and the prospect that they are going to run out of ore to mine at some point in the future. And there are reports that we may have seen peak gold, that mining supply has been declining for the last few years. Of course, that is a function of the fact that they're not spending any money at all on additional supply. So it must be rather difficult to be a gold miner at the moment, because they were castigated during the bull market for spending too much money on additional supply. Now they're not receiving the kind of benefits they should do from the rising gold price because they're not spending enough of money on additional new supply. Nonetheless, if gold prices sustain a move up and out of this range, then the gold shares represent a high beta play on the gold price. Personally, I bought the Junior Gold Miners ETF on a spread betting basis in here today. I do think that this incredibly inert environment is not going to persist, and that the most likely scenario is that we're going to see additional upside from gold and the gold miners over the course of the next few weeks and indeed months. And one of the reasons that people generally tend to own these kinds of assets is because they can be volatile. And when they break out, they can do so in a very dramatic fashion. And the last time we saw an example of that was in 2016. Now, when we look at the gold, excuse me, the crude oil price, it was not able to hold all of its advance in here today, but it is sustaining the move above $70. And we certainly know why, that there are continued geopolitical tensions, and particularly among some of the larger oil producers. Now, one of the things that was animating investors in stocks in here today was initially that trade tensions were declining, but then you had fears about a possible US intervention in Syria. Well, obviously, the international community has come to a simple conclusion, or at least the community of investors. If the international community at large is going to conclude that the use of nerve agents and chemical weapons is unacceptable, then it's going to require intervention, and that is going to raise the geopolitical premium. If, on the other hand, they are willing to do nothing in order to just preserve the status quo, well, then that means then that the people who want to use chemical and nerve agents are going to be emboldened, and that additionally increases the risk premium. So one way or the other, we have a higher geopolitical risk premium, and that is perhaps weighing somewhat on the stocks in here. But the additional fact was that the Federal Reserve had minutes came out today, and they were somewhat more hawkish. Now, when we look at the 10-year government bond yield, it is currently around 2.77%. So we have seen that the yield has rallied off its lows in here today. When we look at it on the futures basis, then we can see clearly that there's still an oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but so far it has not been rallying in a very dynamic fashion. And part of the reason for that, of course, is because there is such an enormous amount of additional supply that is sitting out there and that is about to hit the market over the course of the next few months and indeed years. So what that suggests is that we are going to have some additional upside in terms of the yield and downside in the price. What I find also particularly interesting is that the kinds of indices or measures that we would look at to get a hint for where investors think inflation is, whether it is an imminent risk or not, are starting to firm. So, for example, the Continuous Commodities Index has held a progression of higher reaction lows since the middle of last year. It's been broadly range-bound for about 2 years already, but it is firming from the region of the trend mean, and I think that the most likely scenario is that it is going to break higher. Then, when we look at the TIPS yield, we get a pretty similar condition. It's been ranging for even longer since 2013, and we've seen the yield come in a little bit for the last few weeks, but this continues to look like a very orderly range above that zero bound, and really a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to question that we aren't going to see this also break on the upside. One of the things that has really been at the back of my mind for the last few months is the correlation that we have between the fact that yields have been declining since the early 1980s, and that correlated with the pace or the rise of technological innovation as a disinflationary factor, and the increasing prominence of globalization. The rise of populism, the rise of geopolitical tensions, the fact that China wants to become the global hegemon, all of these things point towards a multipolar world, and the fact that you are getting protectionist fears, that these are really only just beginning, and that they're probably going to ebb and flow over the course of months and years, but that the most likely trajectory is that we're going to have more protectionism. And if that's indeed the case, then those are the kinds of things that represent inflationary influences. And against that background, we have higher interest rates, and we have fiscal stimulus on top of what was already a massive monetary stimulus, and that is also inflationary. So it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that inflationary fears are going to come back on to become a front page news item. So when we think about it in those terms, the fact that gold was not able to hold its advance in here today, well, if we get an additional pullback, it's likely to be a buying opportunity or an opportunity to increase positions, particularly when we look at it in the case in the context of this evolving 5-year base formation. I think that the likelihood is that when it eventually does break out, it is going to do so in a very dynamic manner. Well, Mark Zuckerberg was in front of the Senate in here today, and I got bumped off of Bloomberg yesterday because his testimony went a little bit longer than they were anticipating. And I guess I really can't have any bad blood because I was bumped off the air by Mark Zuckerberg. Now, when we look at Facebook's share price, though, it has experienced a rather deep pullback, and now we've seen a reversion back up towards that mean. And this is the big question. Is it going to sustain a move back above the trend mean, or is it going to fail here? And that's an awfully big question for the share. We have had this massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend, and we're now seeing whether the share is going to encounter resistance in the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range. And if it does, then we'll have to conclude that we have a completed top formation, most particularly if the price breaks down below 150. If it can stabilize, much less if it can put in a higher reaction low and push back above the trend mean, well, then this will, I think people will begin to have concluded that this has been a buying opportunity. So it is a rather interesting environment for the share, and not least because it had been trending higher in such a rhythmic fashion that it had just been finding support in the region of the trend mean on successive occasions. And Google is another share that is at a rather important level. It is right in the region of this 10 of, excuse me, 1,000 level. This is the biggest reaction the share has had since at least 2008. It has never pulled back by more than 100 shares, excuse me, $100 in all that time, and now it's pulled back by $200. So it's a reaction that's double the size of any other pullback that we've had, and it's also testing this psychological $1,000 level. Well, it is going to represent a very significant trend inconsistency if it sustains that move below $1,000. If it can continue to find support at this level, much less if it can rally away from this level, then we can conclude that we're in another ranging phase that could potentially then be resolved with a break on the upside. But so far, it really does need to demonstrate that it can continue to hold this $1,000 level, and there has been a rather distinct absence of very clear upward dynamics. I continue to view Tesla as the canary in the coal mine for the high yield sector. It has rallied right back up to $300. $300 represents the lower side of that overhead trading range. In this regard, it is very similar to Facebook, and it needs to continue to hold this level, and it needs to push significantly back above it to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Tesla, it has been the darling of investors, not least because of the incredible rally that it put in 2013 and through to the middle of 2014. But it does need to continue to meet its tight production schedule, and that's a big ask. In the meantime, if we look at Volkswagen, which has a new cost-cutting-minded CEO, then it has held a progression of higher reaction lows since 2015, and it's bouncing from the region of the trend mean over the course of the last couple of weeks. It looks like a more consistent chart pattern than we have with Tesla, and it is also coming off of a substantial pullback. whereas Tesla is trading at very high levels. And then, of course, Volkswagen has got an estimated PE of 6 versus stratospheric levels that you have for Tesla. Then, when we look at the high yield spreads, well, they have ticked up marginally over the course of the last few weeks, but they are not breaking out. And as long as they're not breaking out and this remains reasonably inert, then the likelihood is that it isn't going to represent an urgent headwind to markets. And in fact, when we look at the junk bond ETF, it has rallied over the course of the last 3 sessions, and it's now pressuring the very short-term progression of lower rally highs, and it could potentially unwind its oversold condition relative to that trend mean. But medium term, it looks like a very rolling over chart pattern, and really to question the supply dominated environment, it would have to sustain a move above the trend mean. Now, when we look at the European region, well, we continue to have the market generally taking its cue from Wall Street, but in a more high beta fashion on the downside. There's still a lot of uncertainty with regard to what exactly is going on within the EU and what is the ECB going to do with its quantitative easing program. Quantitative easing tends to paper over a lot of cracks, and the removal of that quantitative easing is going to expose those cracks once more, and I think that is why the European markets are underperforming. Now, the UK, the FTSE 100, has found support in the region of 7,000, and it is now back in the region of the trend mean. It's broken the very short-term progression of lower rally highs. Now, considering that it has rebounded in such a dynamic manner since the end of March, then there is the potential that we're going to get some pause and consolidation. But that big psychological 7,000 level is the big Rubicon for the market, considering that it represented the upper side of that very lengthy ranging phase that began in 1999. Now, when we look at Australia, then I'm really looking forward to the chart seminar, and although perhaps not the 16-hour flight to get there, but again, this is another market that is trading below its trend mean. It's towards the lower side of the range. Perhaps more important than that is that it's not a particularly consistent chart, and when we look at what is contributing to this underperformance, then it's got to be the banking sector, and that's weighing on the broader market, not least because the banks have got such a lot of exposure to the domestic real estate market. And in a rising interest rate environment, and when we look at the Australian government bond index yields, at least, they have got very high commonality with just about everywhere else. And that 3% level is a big psychological Rubicon, but I think it's quite evident within this range that we have a progression of higher reaction lows, and the yield is rallying again. And really, that progression of higher reaction lows over the course of the last 18 months would have to be broken to question the medium-term conclusion that yields are going to be moving on the upside. And for a market that is dependent on floating rate mortgages, that is, I think, a significant headwind for the banking sector. But meanwhile, the resources sector is firming from the region of the trend mean, and it has been trending higher for over 2 years already, and this continues to look like a bullish environment. And of course, then you also have the healthcare sector, and that has been the clear outperformer in Australia over the course of the last few years, although it is susceptible to some additional pause and consolidation over the course of the next few months. But again, this has been where a lot of the growth has come from in the ASX over the course of the last few years. Now, when we take a step back and we look around, then the reality is we're still in a corrective phase overall, and that if medium-term corrections are Generally, from anything from 6 to 18 months, we're only a couple of months into this corrective phase, and we're still need to have evidence that there is, I think, a clear evidence of support building. But what we are seeing is that it is the cyclical sectors are tending to outperform, and that is highly characteristic of the latter stages of a medium-term bull market. So the return to performance of gold and oil, and the energy sector, which has been very depressed over the course of the last few years, then that's all supportive of a late in the cycle move by cyclicals, and I think that remains the base case. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.